Just another announcement or two. This evening, after our evening service, Brother Byron Canada is going to be bringing the lesson. So I encourage everybody to be here and give him the support that he needs. That's pretty much how I started out. I started out filling in for different preachers, and then going around to different congregations, helping them out, filling in for them. And eventually got to the point where, hey, I just want to do it all the time. And so that's encouraging that a man wants to do that, and so we should give him that support and the encouragement he needs. The lesson this morning is called the roller coaster that we call zeal. And there's no question about it, life is a roller coaster. We all know that. We go through these things. And so zeal is one of those qualities we should have in our life that should be going strong all the time, but it doesn't. And so what we need to do is work on that. So zeal is like being on a roller coaster. You know, a lot of times you sit down in a chair and what happens? Your heart rate stays about the same. No problem at all. You get up, you walk around, guess what? Your heart rate goes up and starts beating. Well, when you sit down on a roller coaster, you sit there, you don't go anywhere, but your heart starts racing. I mean, does so. It does it for several reasons. And if you've ever sat there, and I'm sure most of us at one time in our life went through these things, and we've all been on a roller coaster. Some of the younger people, they still like that thrill and they keep doing it. As we get older, I'm not anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. But anyway, you sit standing there in line and you're watching the people sit down, and some of them kind of with trepidation, not sure about this. And then the cars start rolling down the track, and sometimes their eyes bug out, or they get really, oh no. Then you watch them when they come back. I mean, they're just like that. They didn't go anywhere. They stayed in the same seat the whole trip. But they were like, I mean, the thrill there. So, you know, zeal can be like that. And it should be like that. And we don't express it like we should. See, we start off with great excitement. And as we go through the lesson, we'll see what we're talking about. The great excitement is the salvation we've got in Christ. That should be enough to excite us to do a lot of things. I mean, we have this euphoric high with the anticipation of the thrills approaching and the heart-beating excitement that give one a feeling that they don't normally experience in daily life. I mean, if you're traveling down the freeway, you don't want to go through those thrills. No, you don't. And if you're at the house, you don't really want to do that. So it's not a part of daily life, but it's something, yeah, we'll try it every now and then. I might even try it again sometime, but you don't know. See, you get high with roller coaster, you get high and you come down low, but then you go back up again and up and down and up and around sometimes. It's exciting. But as long as you are on the right track, you will be safe. You know, all these roller coasters are designed to give people the greatest thrill they can imagine. I mean, the steepest drops you can imagine, the quick turns and the shaking and everything, and you're just holding on for dear life because, oh no, I might fly out of this thing. But every one of those roller coasters are built with the design that the person sitting in that chair is able to get up out of that chair. I mean, it's when something goes wrong and someone flies out, well, they got to find out. They check for defect. And that doesn't happen very often. Millions of people ride roller coasters every day and they get to go home. Just an occasional, there's a problem there. But it's designed for safety. Our zeal is supposed to take us through the ups and downs of life, but we must also realize we're there protected by God. God's going to take care of us like we talked about in class. Jesus said, protect them from the evil one. And that's what we look forward to. We let God protect us. We're going to go out and do His work. God will protect us. And so it's this zeal that we're talking about. And zeal is a quality in a person that keeps them fired up to work diligently and doing what needs to be done. We sometimes associate the word fire. You know, Jeremiah talked about the fact that he could not withhold. It was like a fire within him. He had to speak the word of God, and he couldn't hold it back. It was like that fire. Well, a lot of times, what happens when you see a fire? Well, a lot of times, if it's a controlled fire, like if it's on the burner of a gas stove, okay, you have no problem with that. It's designed for a purpose. If it's a fire in the fireplace, that's fine. But if it gets out of where it's supposed to be, what do? We throw water on it. We throw water or some retardant upon it to calm it down and to stop it. It's not supposed to be there. Well, that is a problem in the church, because there's a lot, some people with zeal, and the other members keep throwing water on it. You think that's funny? It's not. People are throwing water on zeal, and I've seen it too many times. And hopefully, you might have recognized it in your own self. We're going to talk about that. See, zeal is an attitude of never give up. And some people, when they have zeal, they just want to keep going. And they don't want to give up. They don't want to give up talking about the Bible. They don't want to give up talking about what God has done for them. And they just don't want to give up, period. Amen. And zeal demonstrates great concern, because we have the zeal like Jeremiah. He had the fire within him to speak God's words. He couldn't hold it back. They were going to complain about him. They were going to persecute him, but he couldn't hold it back. And neither should we. And so it does that. And zealousy is described by eagerness. Some people have this eagerness about them. So let us notice some things about zeal. Gaining your zeal. And this started, perhaps you might remember, when you first became a Christian. I mean, the euphoria that was over you. I have been saved. God saved me through the grace that He provided me through His Son, Jesus Christ. It was something that was exciting to you. And you gained that zeal. And you were excited about what God had done for you. You dedicated your life to God. And for the first time, you felt you could actually pray to God. And that very first prayer, what did you pray? Use me for your service. I'm going to be your servant for life. I'm going to do things for you, God. So work with me here and make me what you want me to be. That's what we prayed. The very first time we prayed to God as a new Christian, we offered ourselves to Him. We offered our service to Him and said, use me. What happened? We forgot that. You were excited by just about anything that was helping you spiritually. Anything. You'd study your own Bible. You'd get with other Christians. You'd study the Bible with them. You'd be learning more about God all the time. You'd be learning more about the Bible and what is there. And interpreting the Bible and understanding, where's my application? These were things that excited you and got you going. And everything that helped you. You were so excited about that. You went to gospel meetings. You went to hear preaching every chance you got. You're even so excited you shared with others what had happened to you. Yes, you shared it with others, which we're supposed to do. But what happened? See, you lost your zeal. And I'll guarantee you, you didn't do it by yourself. You did not. I have a friend who lives in Texas. He's a gospel preacher. He wasn't always a gospel preacher. He was a construction worker living in the world. And someone took the time to teach him the gospel. And I can honestly say he's one of the few people I've ever seen coming up out of the water preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was committed to it. He had a pocket Bible in his pocket, and everywhere he went, he had that pocket Bible with him. And he wouldn't be in a conversation for maybe 30 or 40 seconds with anybody before reaching in that pocket and pulling it out and says, you know, this is very interesting what I read over here. And he was so thrilled and excited about that. And it was a pleasure to spend time with him. I watched him be baptized. And then he was a member where I was a member. And every chance he got to be around Christians, he came to be around Christians. And he talked about the Bible. And he talked about what this means, what that means, and all of these things. He lost his family because of that. They didn't want anything to do with it, so they left him. And he had so much zeal for the Lord, he was ready to get in the pulpit next Sunday and bring a lesson. He was that so excited about it. And then to my disgust, as I was sitting there talking to just some other members of the church, we're sitting there, well, here comes Charlie. He's going to pull out his Bible again. No concern at all that he was had zeal for the Lord. And guess what? Well, here comes Charlie. And take off. They didn't want to deal with him. It was disgusting to them that he would talk about the Bible. And I recognize that happens to so many people. See, after a short time, the excitement went away. Luckily for him, he did not. He continued on. He became a gospel preacher, spent 8 years over in Russia teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he came back to Texas, and unfortunately he fell out of a tree and broke his back. So he's in a wheelchair now, but he's still preaching. That's the exception, though. That's not the rule. That's the exception. And he's a great person for doing that. And that just kind of motivates me, wants me to have that type of zeal. See, perhaps others kept their distance because they did not want to talk about spiritual things. Oh, they'd be glad to talk about cars or hunting or sports or something like that, but bring up a Bible, say, I don't want to talk about that. And that becomes obvious. There's probably a whole bunch of people in this room that probably have the same attitude. Well, we get around, we talk about things, we don't talk about the Bible. We don't talk about the Bible enough, people. All right, you get discouraged. Here's what happened. You got discouraged when people would avoid you because you wanted to talk about the Bible, and they did not. They didn't invite you into your home, into their home anymore. It's kind of like they didn't even want to be around you anymore. And that goes on too much. Perhaps you just fell into the routine that all the other Christians were in. You just saw no need for zeal anymore. You know, when you think about this, this is a very sad story. I'm just not excited about it. It doesn't excite me anymore. See, if it did excite you, you'd tell people about it. But you don't do that. I read a statistic the other day. 95% of all people who profess to be Christians have never led anyone to Christ. And I believe that. That's sad. And it shouldn't be that way. Now, what we need to do, what this lesson is designed to get us to find that zeal that we lost. We remember that time we became a Christian. And that should motivate us. For what God did for us, He can do for somebody else. See, as we grow and we mature, yes, we all make changes. I don't ride roller coasters anymore. And so, yeah, that's one thing. Now, if I'd given the chance, would I? Maybe, probably. But still, as we grow and mature, we all make changes in our lives. And thankfully so, because when we were young, we were kind of stupid. We took chances. We did things that were not right. Hopefully we've grown out of that. Some people never grow out of it, but yes, hopefully we do. Hopefully one of those changes is the realization that we have lost our zeal. And hopefully we'd realize we need that zeal back. But getting it back is not an easy task. See, we all, as we grow and mature, we get into our routines. And we do things the same all the time. And some things just don't excite us anymore. Bible study being one of those things. Maybe spending time with other Christians might be one of those things for you. I mean, that's something you need to get back. Because that's what we're here for. We're here for each other. See, once again, what we need to do is to dedicate our lives to the Lord again and pray that He will forgive us. We've been slacking in our duty to Him. We haven't been doing what we should. And the things that we know we should have been doing, we haven't been doing. And James 4:17 tells us that is sin. And we know we cannot go to heaven with sin in our lives. So that must be forgiven. And that He only forgives if we ask. And hopefully we can ask for strength to find the zeal that we once had. Now, another thing about zeal is, like I said, kind of like the roller coaster, up and down, up and down. Zeal, like our faith, has its highs and its lows. Life itself is like a roller coaster. It goes up and down. Sadly, some never got that initial high that they should have had that would keep them going. That's why the first hill you go down is probably the steepest and the highest, because that's got to give the momentum for the cars to make it all the way to the end. Some people maybe never got that high. And here's a problem that sometimes if you grew up with your parents being members of the church, this might be a problem for you, is the fact that you just got baptized to make mama happy. You got baptized to make grandpa happy. Or something like that. Because, well, I've always watched people being baptized, and it's time for me to be baptized. And not even realizing what that baptism, the significance of that baptism actually is. So you never really got high about it. This is just something you do. And this is normal. This is what happens. Every church goes through it. First generation full of zeal. Second generation just kind of following on the coattail. Third generation, ho-hum. And we wonder why the fourth generation isn't even around to see it all. Because they don't see any importance. They didn't see it in their parents. Some people have never been spiritually minded enough to want to make a difference. See, in 2 Kings 10 and 16, Jehu spoke to an ally and said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." We've all heard this phrase. We've seen it. And you think, oh man, Jehu must have been a great king. But Jehu was just as wicked as they come. Just as evil as you can imagine. He was just showing off, telling somebody, a prophet of God, "Yeah, come and see my zeal for the Lord." He didn't have zeal for the Lord. He had zeal for himself. See, Paul, as we read in our scripture reading, he spoke of his Jewish brethren. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I bear them witness, they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." Okay, we can change the word Jewish brethren to our human brethren. Look at this. People out in the world, the people who are not Christians, a lot of them might have zeal, but it's not according to the knowledge that God gives. And they all justify themselves in their actions all the time. Doesn't matter what they're doing, they find some sort of justification for it. But they're not seeking God's ways. They're not seeking God's righteousness. See, zeal is not limited to spiritual things, and this ought to be obvious to every one of us. Those who promote agendas demonstrate great zeal. If they want to go out and let people kill their babies, they're out there in the streets marching. They want the right to kill their baby. And they do so with such zeal and enthusiasm. And someone says, "That's not right side of God." Oh man, they jump all over them. They're going to protect their agenda. They're going to go for their agenda. They have the zeal for it. They're not afraid to stand out in public and advocate their cause, no matter how evil God may see it. You know, we do that with sports teams too. You know, several years ago, the Giants were pretty good. Everybody, yeah, back in the Giants. And wearing the Giants shirts and everything. You don't see too many of them these nowadays. There's a reason for that. Remember when the 49ers, all those years in the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, everybody's wearing 49ers paraphernalia. And the Warriors, they won. Everybody wearing, they're proud of their team. They talk about it. They watch their team. They cheer their team on. They have a lot of zeal for their team. Have you ever seen anybody have that kind of zeal for Jesus Christ? It's very rare indeed. So there's other causes are good, which some people should. I mean, protecting maybe the environment. Some go a little bit wacko on that. But yeah, there are some causes that are good. Taking care of our veterans and things like that. They're good, and they have a lot of zeal in those things as well. And sometimes, like I said, when you're a fan of the team. All right, 2 Corinthians 7:11. Paul writes to them and says, "For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. In everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter." You know, when we look at 1 Corinthians, we see a dysfunctional church family. I mean, they're way, way out of whack. That's how we would phrase it. They're just out of whack. They were dysfunctional. They were discombobulated. They had problems. And Paul addressed them. But then by the time the second letter was written, all of a sudden these people, Paul addressed what these problems were and told them how to deal with it. Now guess what? He is commending them. He is telling them in the context that these people were evolving into the Christians that they should be. Yeah, they were weak, they were slow, they were ignorant in so many different ways, which should be kind of like us, but they worked on it. They followed the instruction. They followed the instruction that came from God through the writings of the apostle. And they applied these things to themselves. And they were becoming what they should be. That's what we're trying to get done here. Help each of us become the type of Christian God wants us to be. Not what we think it should be, but what God wants it to be. See, that's the reason God gave grace to mankind. Because mankind could communicate that grace. In Titus 2, 13 and 14, "Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be zealous. In other words, passionate about it. Passionate about doing good deeds. And there's nothing greater you can do for a person than introduce them to Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater you can do for anybody than to introduce them to the Savior. So we need to be zealous for good works. And good works, we know we can accomplish good works in many ways. We talk about it all the time, how we can do good for others. But that's why he gave us, that's why he made us. Ephesians 2:10, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, because that's what God designed us to be, to do. And so when we become what God wants us to be, we're going to be doing those good works. And God is going to give the increase because of our example. See, the church in Laodicea had such a problem. This group was neither hot or cold, so Jesus spewed them out of his mouth. Of course, that's figurative language. But they thought, hey, we're something else. We're the church of Christ. We're the church that belongs to God. And they were acting like we discussed a little while ago. Oh, here comes Charlie. He's bringing out his Bible. Don't want to mess with him anymore. That's how they were acting. They thought they were fine. They go to church every Sunday. Oh, yeah, God loves us. But I don't want to hear about his word. I mean, that's what they said in Isaiah chapter 30 when they said, "Don't seers don't see and prophets don't prophesy. Speak to us smooth words. Do not tell us any more about the Holy One of Israel." Revelation 3:19. This is what he told them to do. "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." See, here's a command that comes from God. We've got to be zealous. All of us. Not just the preacher, not just a couple of members. All of us need to be zealous for good works. Zealous for the Word of God. Zealous to learn more about God. See, Paul explained his own understanding of zeal when he talked about himself. In Galatians 1:14 says, "I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries, among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions." He had the same problem that we face. A lot of people didn't care about being a Jew. They were busy making their living out on the streets, selling their wares or whatever. And they really weren't interested in spiritual matters. Paul says, "I was really interested in spiritual matters. I spent some time in this. I spent a lot of time in this." And Acts 22:3 says, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, one of the principal teachers of Judaism, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are today." So that's what he was explaining to them. "I was full of zeal for the way that which you hold to, the Jewish way, following the letter of the law." Notice what he continues to say. "As to zeal, he was a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless." I mean, that's the type of person who took every word of God that he understood and applied it to himself. He didn't violate that. And that's what we should be. We should know what the Bible says, and we should not violate anything that God tells us not to do. And we should do what God tells us to do. So we see that Paul was very zealous. But like many of those who have their causes, they can be zealous for all sorts of things. But like Paul, they can still be wrong. There's a lot of people out there really zealous for what they do, but it's wrong. We just need to steer them to the right course if they will take it. So let us focus upon the right things by using our zeal. Let's get our zeal motivated again. So the question we all need to ask is this: when you are down, what can I do to get my zeal up? You can go to the Word of God, that's quite obvious. But you get around other Christians who are really interested in learning more about God. There's a lot of people in this room, they wear the name Christian, but when you want to talk about spiritual matters, they kind of disappear real fast. Find those who want to talk about the Bible. There are those in here that really want to talk about spiritual matters. And when you are up, what can I do to get my zeal to stay up? Encourage others, help others, get other people involved and excited about the Scriptures, recognizing that the Scriptures are there for the betterment of mankind. Don't try and do it alone. We have each other. That's what we're here for. That's what God wants us to do, is to be here for each other, to help each of our members, the young people, the old people, all. Ask your brethren to help you. It can be done. And pray that you might have the zeal for God. Once again, if you never had it, ask for it. If you have had it and you lost it, and hopefully some of you realize, I have lost my zeal for God, it's time to make a change. Rededicate yourself to His service and be the faithful child of God that He wants you to be. You do that by becoming a child of God. Obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ involves not only the belief that He is the Son of God, but yet He wants you to repent of your ways. And that means put the sin out of your life and change the direction you're going. A lot of us need to make a change in the direction we're going. And then confess His name, that He is your Lord and Savior, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And after that, if you have still failed Him, confess your sins one to another, and you'll be forgiven of those sins, and you'll once again be in the family of God. If we can help you and assist you in any way, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.